I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, November 4th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Oh, I need to remove one thing. H, where it says reports, we have no reports. I forgot to take that off the agenda.
Jim?
I didn't quite hear that, Terry, what'd you say?
I asked Tom to remove item number 6H, where it says reports, because we did not receive any reports. I just forgot to take that off of the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
That answers my question, I was just wondering if you could hear us, Jim. Good morning.
Morning.
Before we meet with department heads, Jim?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations, Jim.
Thanks, Bob.
Kevin, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Terry? Congratulations.
Yeah, Terry.
Thank you. Is that congratulations because most of it's over?
Well, and I know I'm speaking for everybody in Des Moines County, I really need to compliment you and your staff on the job you did on this election. We had an overwhelming, how many, and you'll tell us.
Yeah, I'll give you an update.
An overwhelming number of mail-in ballots, a huge election. I know it probably didn't look like that from your seat, but it looked like it went like clockwork. We had timely results. The whole county should be proud of the job you and your staff did, and I'm not blowing smoke though.
I'm very proud of the staff and the poll workers. We had a lot of new poll workers, and they just stepped up to the plate, so it was great.
It was counted one though.
That comes with good leadership from you, Terry.
Oh, well, thank you.
Bob, you've been here 16 years. The county owes you a debt of gratitude.
It's been great.
Don't mess with me, this isn't easy. Anyway, it's, the county owes you a debt of gratitude, all the taxpayers do. You've worked hard, you've been a major, major factor in all the county's successes, and we will continue to wish you the best.
Well, thank you.
And you're going to be here for another couple of months, and I can think of worse things to say about you than that.
Yeah.
All right, meet with department heads. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor and Election Commissioner.
Good morning. We got out of here at 11 o'clock last night. Carla was updating our local website, and I was updating the ENR website on the Secretary of State's office, making sure all that was done, and then send out the final email to all the news media. The absentee board did an absolutely fantastic job. They were here 2 days, and that little machine that back there that Kevin's sitting beside, they loved that thing. That, they said that was the best purchase they ever could have made, because they flew through the process. Because once they went through their box of absentee ballots and verified that everything was in that box that needed to be in there, they went over there and put them through there, and that opened them up, made them a lot easier, they didn't have to do it by hand. And the absentee board was done counting a majority of the ballots by 3:15 yesterday. And we ended up, we sent out 13,278 ballots, and we got back 12,812.
Wow.
And they got through all of those in the 2 days. We had our two minis set up that ran all the ballots through. We had somebody on each one of those. The first day, it's always, you know, trying to get into the routine, and it's kind of like, I hope we can get this done, but man, yesterday, they just fell into place, and they just rolled through everything. And out of that 12,812 ballots, that's how many that was recounted on the results. So, all of that came out correctly. And, but it was just...
It's not me.
But everything went smoothly. We had a lot of new poll workers at a lot of the precincts, and they did really well. So I just want to thank and congratulate all the poll workers and everybody and all the elected officials. But I do want to let you know that there is still 466 ballots out there. We don't know how many of them will be counted, voided once, because those that took their ballots to the precincts and surrendered them, then we have to go and pull all of those and make sure that those are voided. So, you know, that might make up half of the 466. So
if they get mailed in, they have to be postmarked.
And if they get mailed in, they have to be postmarked yesterday.
The election day. Before.
Or not yesterday. Oh, geez.
Monday. Okay.
Yeah, Monday was also kind of a nightmare around here because we had a malfunction on the door lock downstairs, and we were supposed to close for voting at 5:00. And of course, the two girls that were up doing the counter, they were just going through, you know, processing everybody. And one time I looked out there, it's kind of like, man, that line isn't going down. And then I had to help one of the poll workers take their equipment out to their car. And that's when I noticed somebody walking into the courthouse, and it's kind of like, and I didn't even have to use my badge to get in. So I called Jack instantly because I said, the door is not locking. It was supposed to lock at 5:00 and people were still coming in. And so he stood at the door then and was kind of our little bodyguard to tell everybody that there was a malfunction on the door. They're working on getting it locked, but people were still coming in. And everybody that was in line, I said, you know, one lady tried to be argumentative about it. And we said, no, there was a malfunction, but everybody standing in line gets to vote because they came in. Everybody, I think Jack said he turned away probably 10 people because the door not locked, but everybody that was there in line got to vote just like it would at a polling place. If there was a long line at a polling place at 9:00, everybody that's in line gets to vote. So nobody was turned away in that aspect of being up here in the hallway. And that hallway was very busy on Monday. They processed 515 absentee ballots voters that day. So it was very busy. So, and we're glad to have that part over. Now we just, the cleanup and all the other processes, the final canvas, which is next Tuesday. And we have our special absentee board come in tomorrow at 1:00 for any absentees that come in today and tomorrow, and to look over any provisional ballots we might have from the precincts. And then the canvas is next Tuesday. And then the following Thursday on the 12th is when we will have our audit. Once the Secretary of State's office lets us know which precinct to audit, then we pull the sealed envelopes from all the ballots at that precinct, and then we go through the whole audit process. And the first time we ever did that, I think, was in 2018, and that's when they pulled Mediapolis, and we had like 866 ballots, and it came out perfect. So that's what we like to see. So that's all I have.
Congratulations again, and thank you.
Thank you.
Colin Gerst, IT.
I'm just keeping busy like always. Making a little changes to the county's website here recently. The county website is dmcounty.com. We've added an additional SSL certificate to go to DesMoinesCounty.iowa.gov, completely spelled out. That's part of the Secretary of State's kind of push to get all the counties on a .gov. address instead of .com, so that when someone goes to a government site and it's on a .gov, they realize that they're actually on a government website. So right now you can get to the website either through dmcounty.com or DesMoinesCounty.iowa.gov, and then we're setting up a redirection today, so if you do go to dmcounty.com, it's just going to automatically redirect you to DesMoinesCounty.iowa.gov, and it goes to the same exact website. There's no change. We're just going to have two URLs for the time being. And then down the road, I don't know, maybe in a year or so, we'll probably get rid of the dmcounty.com. And that's not going to affect the county's email or anything else.
Okay.
It's strictly the website. So, that's all I got.
Thanks, Colin.
Yep.
Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I'd like to start off with nothing to do with my office. I was down here just a little bit Friday, a little bit Monday, and a lot of credit to Terry and Cheryl and her staff. It was a madhouse.
Here they put you to work.
Yes, I forgot to thank him too.
No, I don't need any thank you. I was a very, very tiny bit in the entire process, and I bluntly had no idea how much time goes into every single ballot, and it's astounding, terribly inefficient. And so credit to them and to the mess that they dealt with, and I'm sure that it went very well, but behind the scenes, I can tell you it doesn't go nearly as smooth. I got to answer the phones and see the nightmare almost as it was. So credit, a lot of credit to them. It was a side I'd never been behind. So anyway, on our department wise, we closed Highway 99. We've been talking about it for a long time, and it closed right on time. I think it closed about 4 o'clock Monday. And they're starting demolition. So they're jumping in and moving along. So there is a detour route set up. There is traffic control. So we'll push our way on through. And contractor certainly acts like he wants to move along as quick as he can. They're talked about already moving two crews in, so that's a good sign. So hopefully that stays and the weather stays the way it is and they just keep on going. Still doing some ditching. Again, it's probably as long as the weather will allow us. We were on Irish. We pulled off of Irish for a little while. We're going to do a couple small things. But we may end up back at Irish to finish out the season. Doing some blading and just still work on some culverts. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Jared Glasser, Land Use.
Morning. I don't really have anything specific other than we do have an item on the agenda, and I believe we're kind of back to back, week to week here. We should have one subdivision for next week, and then there's another one we just received late last week that we just sent out for review that should be ready the week after that. So it's kind of just, these are all minor subdivisions we've known about for a while that are just finally moving through the process, so we're keeping moving on that. So I don't have anything else.
Thanks, Jared. Kevin Glendenny, Des Moines County Sheriff-elect.
Thank you. I'd start off by saying thank you to Terry. Chief Deputy Grimshaw was down here last night and saw the work and efficiency of Terry and her staff and just spoke very highly of it. And how you guys operated down here, he was very impressed with it and just wanted to pass that along as well. We're excited to have the election complete. It's been a great process, but it's neat to be able to move forward with some of these plans and kind of know where we're at and move forward with it. So other than that, things are going really well. We're going to be doing some departmental interviews for two future deputies. We have four applicants that we're interviewing today, and hopefully be moving forward with that process for the academy to start in January. And our jail population is at 82, and we're housing eight adults out of county. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Yeah, I would say Terry and her staff are wonderful. The Autumn Heights building decided not to be a polling place this year, so our building became a polling place, and it's just amazing seeing the polling workers coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and setting everything up, and you know, the doors opened up to the public at 7, and we probably had 7 people waiting outside at first, and they just kept coming all day long, and so it really worked out well, I felt like. And you can see how hard those polling workers worked. They did an excellent job. So other than that, we're finishing up the applications for the CARES Act. We're getting those entered into the computer system, and I think we're right at the end of it now of spending that $1.5 million on mental health for schools and for mental health providers and a few other providers that assist people with mental health and COVID-19. So it's been a lot of extra work to get all those applications entered into the system, but I think it went really well, and we're about to the end of that process. This week we'll be finishing that up. So that's about all I have for now.
Thanks, Ken. Krista Pogemiller, Local Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. Our COVID numbers continue to be over 15%. It's 15.8% this morning. It was over 16 earlier this week. So our positivity rate is 1,673, and recovered we have 948. We do continue to encourage the community to, you know, social distance, good hand washing, stay home when you're sick. I think one of the challenges is having people, you know, when you're called by public health, we really encourage people to stay home following the guidelines that public health is giving, because that's obviously to prevent further spread in the community. We are still offering flu shots at our clinic, 1:30 to 4 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So anyone that hasn't had a flu vaccine, we encourage people come in and get that as well. So that's all I have.
Anybody on the...
I have two. First one I have on here is Chris Lee with Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Like everybody, big thank you to the auditor's office and everybody that worked in this crazy year election. I know that just had to have been nuts. I stayed far, far away from there. I can't express my gratitude enough for everything they've done. Congrats to those who won the election. At our department, we're kind of transitioning into what should be winter mode, although we didn't expect 70 degrees the first part of November. We have shut off the water to all of our parks, except for Big Hollow. We'll leave that on until it looks like we're going to see a sustained freeze. And we have had campers in. We've got a lot of calls this week about people on the camp this weekend, so I guess we'll see. We are a couple staff down, and so kind of got everybody on point helping with the field work that needs done right now. So our office is kind of closed occasionally, because we've even got our office manager helping with the field work that needs done. That we've got to get done with our staff unit now. And that's really about it. We got a work session tonight and a board meeting. So look forward to talking to you guys then.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
This is Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can email me so I can print it off and for that meeting tonight?
Yep. I'll send that back out here real quick.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
You bet.
Thanks, Chris.
Next one I have is Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Good morning, everyone. All I have to report is that we're still real busy with the normal work routine and, of course, the jury trials. We're still bringing in potential jurors at about 15 to 20 people at a time, at a designated time, so we don't exceed the appropriate number of folks that can be in the courtroom due to COVID, which seems to be working out really well. We just have a lot of cases to get caught up on, so that's really where we're at right now, is to keep it really busy, and that's all I have to report.
I'm glad you're on the phone. I have a question for you. I wasn't going to bother you because I know you're busy. You sent out that magistrate nominating committee email.
Yes, I did. Yes, correct.
Okay, and I read those two sections of Iowa Code, and naturally enough, they went over my head a little bit. So, if the attorneys in town nominate three candidates, the board nominates three. Is that the way I understand that?
I believe it's actually two lawyers and three. The attorneys nominate two attorneys, and then the board has the three people out in the community, is the way I recall it.
Okay.
And everybody is, yeah, it's three lay people, or three people in the, you know, public, and then two attorneys that would come up. All their commissions end at the end of this year. So, I mean, the three folks that we have currently might, you know, they might be willing to still serve, but we have to have new attorneys nominated.
Does the local bar association come up with that, with the attorneys?
I actually sent out a ballot, a nominating petition to all the Des Moines County attorneys who are licensed or who are allowed to vote. So, I have not received anything back yet, but they have until the end of this month for the nominations. I'll probably send a reminder email out the middle of November just to remind them that they have to, you know, get in their nominations by the end of this month, and then we'll have the official vote and hopefully have the two ones that have the most votes from the Bar Association by the end of the year.
Okay, okay.
That makes sense?
Pretty much.
Okay.
We'll proceed with our end of it, and if we have any questions, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, just give me a call. So these three people, they've always been really delighted to serve, so my hope is that they'll be willing to do it for another 6 years.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Is that it? Okay. Do you have anything, Robert? Jim?
What's that?
Do you have anything?
No, I don't.
Okay. Public Health kept us apprised about COVID-19. Have you got any correspondence, Jim?
No, it's been pretty quiet here. This place weren't locked up yet.
Probably a good thing. Bob, you have any? I did. Jim, you and Bob might remember we had a work session a couple months ago about becoming part of the Corn Belt ports. The Mississippi River ports of eastern Iowa and western Illinois for the length of the state of Iowa. So we have some news on that. It says, Corn Belt Ports team, my volunteer effort has come to a close, and I'm very happy to report that we have several new federal ports that rank as top 100 principal U.S. ports in the very heart of the Corn Belt. Details are in the attached Corn Belt Ports media release, 28th October 2020 final, and the attached Corn Belt Ports national ranking, 28th October 2020 slide deck. The Waterborne Commerce Statistics Center website will be updated soon, but the current principal U.S. ports listing and ranking is in the attached U.S. Coastal and Inland Navigation System Supports Ranking October 2020 excerpt. Please feel free to share the materials. We are hoping for some decent media coverage for this historic Corn Belt event. Maybe this could be a media break from covering COVID-19 and the upcoming election. A few comments in addition to my previous email below and what is in the attachments. We are all extremely pleased that the Mid-America port made its national debut as the fifth largest inland port in the nation and the 44th largest port in the United States, a category that includes coastal ports. The Illinois Waterway, ports and terminals, an aggregate of four existing state-authorized ports, is the largest of the three Corn Belt ports and will rank even higher in the report next year after three or four more counties are added. The Mississippi River ports of eastern Iowa and western Illinois came in as the 81st largest port in the nation. This is an incredible ranking considering that much of the Mississippi River was closed to navigation during a record duration flood event, as a reminder of the flooding in 2019. In addition, seven of the originally planned MRPEIWI counties are still undergoing review to deconflict some overlapping county and state legislation that's on the books. We expect next year's report to show more annual growth in freight tonnage handled than most other ports in the nation. He said, in closing, I do think it's appropriate to call your attention to an attached announcement from Senator Grassley, an excerpt below. Before this announcement, Iowa was the only Mississippi River state that didn't have a federally recognized port. This is a well-deserved recognition as Iowa serves as a major multimodal transportation center and the number one producer and exporter of corn. The inland waterway system on the Mississippi River is vital to connecting our agricultural and manufacturing goods with communities both around the country and the world.
So that brings up something I forgot. My correspondence was Vicki Store.
Uh-huh.
Has got somebody's coming to talk to her. And wants you to be there too. Maybe Jim.
proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,271,162.42.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursement in the amount of $355.99.
Move to approve.
Did Bob move?
He did.
Second. I can't hear you very well.
I didn't move very fast.
Can I borrow one of your hearing aids, Bob?
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have a resolution appointing a commissioner to the Mid-America Port Commission. I'm going to read this letter from Douglas Ailes. I am the current chairman of the Mid-America Port Commission. The commission is a three-state compact consisting of Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. It was organized to promote cooperation among the states on river issues and specifically to promote commercial freight traffic on the Mississippi River. There are three commissioners from each state, with two commissioners elected by the chairman of the Board of Supervisors for the designated counties in the organizing statutes: Lee, Henry, Des Moines, Van Buren, Jefferson, and Wapello. The third commissioner is appointed by the governor. The governor-appointed commissioner is Dan Wiedemeyer, Des Moines County, and the county-appointed commissioner is Joe Steele. There is a vacancy for the other county-appointed commissioner. Lee County Board of Supervisors had nominated Denise Boyer to fill the vacant commissioner position with a term expiring June 30th, 2024. A short biography of Denise is below. Other nominations are welcome. Attached is a resolution template that can be filled in, signed, scanned, and returned to me. Denise Boyer is a lifelong resident of Lee County in the Fort Madison, Iowa area. She and her husband, Jay, co-own and operate Hall Marine Towing Incorporated in Fort Madison. Hall Towing Incorporated provides an array of services to Southeast Iowa, including harbor services, commodity and bulk material storage and transloading, and specialized services in river construction, towboat rehabilitation, and equipment transfer. Denise has a history of serving her community through volunteer service. She's a past board member of Fort Madison Economic Development Corporation and a current board member of the Southeast Iowa Economic and Port Authority. When not operating her business or serving on local boards, Denise is active in her local ministry and pursuing her degree in theology. Douglas Ailes, professional engineer, CEO, and general manager, Northeast Missouri Electric Power Cooperative. And we have a resolution to support that nomination by electing Denise, so.
So you want
we would, if you want to approve Denise, yeah. We would need a motion to approve the resolution to appoint her as a commissioner.
I will make that motion. I will make that motion.
I will second the bomb. Thank you.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a resolution authorizing the issuance of a general obligation bridge replacement loan agreement anticipation project note in a principal amount not to exceed $1 million. having trouble talking today. I was up late waiting for Bob's call. Whereas the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, State of Iowa, has heretofore proposed to enter into a general obligation loan agreement, hereafter the loan agreement, pursuant to the provisions of Section 331.402 of the Code of Iowa, for the purpose of financing the county's Highway 99 bridge replacement project, hereinafter known as the project, and the county has published notice of such proposal and held a hearing thereon. And whereas it is necessary to authorize the issue of a general obligation bridge replacement loan agreement anticipation project note in an amount not to exceed $1 million. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County as follows. Section 1, the project note is hereby authorized to be issued by Danville State Savings Bank, the purchaser, in anticipation of the receipt of and being payable from sources to be received and expended in connection with the project. The project note shall be signed by the chairperson and attested by the county auditor and delivered to the purchaser. Shall mature on December 1st, 2022 and shall bear interest at the rate of 2% per annum payable as set out in the project note, except as the provisions hereinafter set forth with respect to redemption prior to maturity may or may not become applicable hereto. Section 2, advances on a project note may be requested by the county auditor in such amounts and at such times as are needed to pay the cost of the project and the date and the amount of each advance shall be entered by the purchaser on the schedule of advances and payments on the project note. Each advance shall bear interest from the date of such entry. The county auditor is hereby designated as the registrar and paying agent for the project note and may hereinafter be referred to as the registrar or the paying agent. The county reserves the right to repay principal of the project note in whole or in part on any date prior to maturity under terms of par and accrued interest. The date and amount of each such payment shall be entered up by the purchaser on the schedule of advances and payments on project note. All principal so prepaid shall cease to bear interest on the redemption date. The project note shall be fully registered as to both principal and interest in the name of the owner of the records of the county kept for such purpose, after which no transfer shall be valid unless made on said records by the county auditor, and then only upon a written instrument of transfer satisfactory to the county auditor, duly executed by the registered owner or the duly authorized attorney for such registered owner. Section 3, the project note shall be in a substantial.
I don't see it.
Well, we've got the rest of it's just a copy of the project note. So we need a motion to approve the resolution.
I make a motion we approve this.
I'll second the motion on the resolution 2020-47.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Perry.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for first addition to the BT Farms subdivision.
Well, this one,
that's you.
This one would be a first for Zach James and myself for the last, working with land use for the last 2.5 years. The first instance of a, where we were involved with the original subdivision, BT Farms, and the first addition. So that shows you how long we've been involved in this. This was BT Farms, the first one was actually one of the first subdivisions we oversaw in early 2018. Unfortunately, in this case, it's a pretty routine basic thing here. It's kind of a technicality in the sense that when the BT Farms subdivision was done in 2018, it created a 37-acre lot, cutting out a wooded area with a stream from the land on either side, which was initially all under the same ownership. This is up near the Loayza County line, northwest of Minneapolis. And that property was sold to a neighboring property owner with a residence on 140th Avenue. But since then, the family that owns this land was working to sell the remainder of their property on either side of that subdivision. And they have a buyers in mind for the two pieces separately, but when this was subdivided back in 2018, that resulted in two parcels that are split into two separate sections with the BT Farms subdivision in the middle. So as it stands, those cannot be sold separately from one another. And therefore, this subdivision is solely being proposed in order so that this 25-acre piece to the south of the lot one can be sold with the land to the south, and then that separates the land to the north to be sold to someone else. So it's pretty basic. It's currently used for farmland. There's proposed to continue using it that way as with the land further to the south. So no significant comments were received, and we would recommend approval of first edition BT Farms.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Get these signed for you after the meeting, Jared. We have a Class C liquor license for Hy-Vee Edmonds Wedding, dated
it's like a 5-day.
Oh, okay, yeah, it is. I'm staring at the date below that. Yeah, November 12th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have three personnel actions of the auditor's office. We have Jack Engel, a temporary part-time clerk resignation, effective October 24th. We have Jennifer Engel, a temporary part-time clerk, a temporary employee to assist with general election. The position will end on November 3rd, $10 an hour. We have Teresa Hicks, a temporary part-time clerk, temporary employee to assist with general election, position ending, date extended as needed, $10 an hour.
Yeah, I wanted to keep her on because she's helping us clean up after the general election. That'll probably take us about a week or two, so.
Brian doesn't have any time.
Yeah, Brian. Brian was very helpful when he was down here. We even made up a little sign for him that said Brian, so that he don't get his own little desk. We just couldn't be more happy to have Becky down here to help with payroll, because there's no way we would have been able to do it. So.
Just to throw this out there, and Brian said he was answering a phone.
Yes, and he realized how many calls we get for Des Moines.
How is his customer service?
He was pretty darn good. He behaved himself, no rude comments or anything, but I think Carla made a comment that he got the hang of asking them, now what address are you looking for? And then you could realize, he knows his addresses and streets around the county, so he knew instantly. We don't have one. Do you live in Des Moines? Well, yes. You need to call the Polk County auditor.
Yeah, I had that conversation. We have that at our office a little bit.
I figured you're used to that, so.
they have a hard time getting it through their head that Des Moines and Polk County and it's all be different.
Yeah, it's not the same place, so.
I vote to approve. All three.
Second. Move through all three.
Terry?
Okay. Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. I have twice been called over the years by the New York Times wanting to go on. Was going on an election in Iowa, and had to try to explain to him there was a difference between Des Moines County and the city of Des Moines. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items.
We need to work on the engineer's contract.
I was just waiting for Jim to come back healthy, so probably next week I'll put it on there. I always have preferred three board members in person if it works, and there's no reason to rush it with Jim coming back. So I'll have it on. I may have a work session next week too to talk about a project we're applying for some other funding for.
And then Jared, we still need to put the zoning back on, so when?
Ordinance update, discussion of a couple items.
If we can spread some of those work sessions out so it doesn't take a whole day.
Sure, absolutely.
Committee reports.
I had a Zoom meeting on Monday and with PCAP. Not real fond of Zooms. No offense, Colin. But see how it.
I didn't have any committee reports. Jim?
No, didn't have any.
Public input. Seeing as how the attendance is limited, anyone with any comments may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will wait 2 minutes to give everybody a chance to.
The clock has started.
Thank you. Any comments from the room?
I'll publicly apologize to Bob Beck. Because I called him up last night and told him he won. And about 2 minutes later, somebody handed me the final tally, and I had to call him back.
And about time I had a chance to call Jim and tell him, revel in the glory that I beat him.
Yeah. Well, I did tell Shane McCampbell that he lost, and he thinks I was joking.
Oh, is that the results from the absentee that came through first?
Yeah.
Yeah, because both of those guys were tied.
Yeah, well, they were 2 votes apart.
How did the elections on the website muster last night? Did you or the girls have any issues entering that stuff in last night?
Carla had to, at first she had the long names of everybody, and then she realized she had to shorten it because they were running over.
I saw that.
And so, she went in and fixed that, but she worked on that. I did the ENR updates and tried to email everybody, so it was 11 o'clock when we got out of here, so. And I emailed the total by precinct to Austin because he was going to put it on the GIS website. Because he was going to do it by precinct, the turnout and everything. So,
I'll use the dead time to remind you we do have our bid for our shop still out there. So I think it's a week and a half from now or so we take bids. So,
what day is that?
I want to say it's Monday. Sixteenth. So I want to double check and make sure you got put in your calendar.
No,
I know we checked with you, but
I don't recall. So
yeah, that's fine. I was going to say something to you anyway.
Monday, November the 16th. At
yeah. 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. Okay. I'll make sure it's on the book.
There's been a lot of interest, a lot more interest this time, so we're happy to see that. So,
we're 2 minutes up, Jim.
Yeah, I didn't know if you heard me or not.
Oh, no, it didn't. With an I, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.